Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. I tell you. There's nothing wrong with the technology, just me who's running the technology right now. This is all new to me. So I do apologize for any inconvenience. Most of the callers have called back in, and so we're grateful for that. And Dr. Shepherd, I'm going to let this caller, the caller, your number is 3149. The line is open to you. Please, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Apostle Banks, and good morning, Apostle Dr. Shepherd. Good morning.
Good morning, Donna. How are you today, dear?
I am grateful, and Apostle Banks, for new learning and expansion, it goes with the territory. They go hand in hand. So no apologies are needed at all. No apologies are needed for expansion. New learning is necessary.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you so much.
Praise God. My question is, Dr. Shepherd, can children be taught about casting out demons? And the reason why I'm asking this question is because children are bombarded constantly with demonic activities via TV, via movies, via music, everywhere they look, fast foods, they have it in the toys. It's just, it's in their world. And can they be taught? I just want to know, can they be taught? And then what would be the first step of teaching them about demonic activities and casting out demons? They're not afraid. In their cartoons, they're not afraid.
That's true. Just one second. Let me. I didn't have her cued in. Here she comes now. There you are, Dr. Shepherd. Thank you, love. Thank you.
Okay. From the moment they can say go, they can cast out demons. The place
Amen.
To start. There's. And they'll do it, too. They'll do it quick and fast. There's two places you want to look. The first book I use is a book called The Little Skunk. The Little Skunk. And that book is by Bill Bright's wife. I can't think of Sue Banks. Sue Banks has a book called The Little Skunk. And that's where I start because it's a story when they're little, and I read the story. And then we get rid of all the little skunks in their house, okay? The next one, there's a ministry by Kathy Walters' husband called Kids in Combat. KIDSNKOMBAT. And they have a whole series. And they even have the warfare prayers at the level that the kids can understand them and do them. And it works.
Uh-huh.
And I've been using those tools for years, and they work.
Amen.
They work.
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you.
Don't forget to teach them about imaginary playmates and imaginary friends. Make sure you teach them about that. And you got to get, because they don't have no fear, you just ask them. This is when I want to get to if they have a secret. You know, I do mass deliverance with kids. I do mass deliverance, and I generally have T-shirts and balloons and stuff like that, and I make it fun for them, okay? And then I get to the serious part, and it's called I've Got a Secret.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
I've got a secret. Do you have a secret? And then they'll tell you that secret stuff.
Amen.
That they won't tell you. But yeah, yes, they are most effective.
Praise Amen. God. This was Praise well God. Worth me pressing in. It was well worth you, Apostle Banks, just learning and not being afraid to learn something new. We're with you. Praise God. God bless Amen. You both, ladies. Kingdom blessings.
Thank you, darling. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. For the rest of you that are online, again, just press 1 on your keypad if you have a question for Dr. Shepherd. And again, this is Apostle Etta Banks along with Dr. Shepherd here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Like I said before, this is a window of opportunity that you don't want to let go by. So if you have a question, please be sure to ask it. Another question that as you were speaking, and I do believe you spoke about it briefly, but I want to be sure the audience gets the clear understanding of it. And that is in dealing with what is the difference here? Okay, we have astrology and people that do what is that stuff called? Horoscopes, dealing with astrology and so forth. Uh-huh. And, you know, so dealing with that along with the witchcraft or whatever the case may be. And if in the Bible it speaks about Jesus being born on the certain star and the stars, how is astrology, how is that wrong? So that's the question I get a lot about, you know. So could you explain that, please?
Okay. That takes us back to two things. We know that the heavens declare the glory of God. We know that. And we also know that back in the day when Jesus was born, that you even had prognosticators. And these are people that mapped out the constellations and the stars. And then they began to apply what was supposedly science. And we know that science was a way to disguise witchcraft. And prognosticators were people who were predicting things that they had seen systematically happen and through oracles. Now, God never told us that the devil didn't have power and that the angels didn't have power. He never says that, nowhere in the Bible. But God forbids us to use that dark side knowledge and that dark side power. That's the key. Now, the thing about astrology is man took over and man used knowledge from those fallen angels that was not supposed to be used by man in the first place. Witchcraft, the hand of man. So, even with that, if you could take the constellations, you know, Sagittarius, the Big Dipper, and all of that, back to its original as a guide for traveling and things like that. But man took it one step further and began to live their life according to oracles and according to placements in the stars. And God said this, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me, period. Not the God of Leo, not the God of Capricorn, and not the God of any of those constellations which were placed in the sky, not for the purpose of guiding the life of man based upon knowledge from man, which makes that become what? Idolatry. It's idolatry. Idolatry can be your TV. If you're watching the TV and following the TV and leading your life, God say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So if you're looking at a constellation, Leo, and Leo say, today the lion is in the fourth quarter with the Sagittarius and the Gemini is moving over to the left, and you should not go to the store, and you don't go to the store, you have now made all of that prognostication your God.
My God, my God. Wow, wow. Wow.
It ain't unreal. It ain't complicated.
Man, all right. Wants
to, so you're a waver. So you're a reason about it. But it ain't complicated. God say, God say, blessing, I'm going to bless you. Cursing, you're going to curse yourself. But I'll curse you if you do one thing. What is that? Disobey me. You disobey me. So many people are walking around here today under curses from God and don't know it. Why? Because, you know what I hear all the time, Apostle? This is what they tell me.
Listen.
I ask them, one of the first questions I ask almost everybody I meet is, what has God called you to do for him?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that the Lord has told you that, you know, he wanted you to do? And they'll say, well, he wants me to, let's just say, to be a scribe, you know, write.
Mm-hmm.
He wants me to write. Mm-hmm. I'll say to them, well, have you started writing yet? No. And then they'll say, I can't keep a job. I can't keep no money. I can't keep relationships. I say, you're under a curse from God. Then they look at me like I'm crazy. I curse people.
Mm-hmm.
God is a I said, he is a God of love, and he loves you so much that when you don't do what he say, you get chastised for it.
Mm-hmm.
You get chastised for it. Well, God called me to preach. I said, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, called you to preach, and you fool, you had the nerve to tell him no. You deserve what you get. And it ain't going to be nice to tell God no.
Well, awesome, I heard that. Too complicated.
If God say to you, he don't want you sleeping with your stepmother, you can go sleep with
Come
her
on.
If you want to.
Come on.
Gonna pay the price. Gonna pay the price. What is the price? You're gonna fall under a curse from God. So, I just think we need to wake up. We need to read this Bible, and we need to believe what the Bible says, and our lives would be so much better, so peaceful. Because you see, the devil, he want to take you out of peace. Whatever he has to do to take you out of peace, he want to take you out of peace. He don't want you to have peace. Why? Because what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If he can keep you out of peace, he can keep you out of joy. If he can keep you out of peace and joy, he can keep you out of right standing with God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It ain't complicated.
All right. Thanks to God. Again, you're listening to Dr. Shepherd, Erica Shepherd, from Tedline Ministries, here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Truly, again, if you have any questions, please be sure to press 1 on your keypad. Okay. Let me see.
I think if, Apostle, if I could clear up a little bit more about that, the difference between exorcism and deliverance. When a person requires an exorcism, they possess. They are possessed. All right, and the mind can be possessed, the will can be possessed, the intellect can be possessed, the soul can be possessed, and if the soul is possessed, that person is in need of an exorcism.
Got you. Yes. Amen. That makes it even easier now to understand. Okay, could you speak to illnesses in our bodies and their connection with the demonic spirits.
Okay. Like I said a little bit earlier, all sickness came when God created Adam. He created, and then he, when God formed Adam, sorry, and created Eve, he created them to live forever. There was no death in the garden. There was no death. So when that Lucifer, who became Satan, entered or was already there, nobody really knows the exact answer, but to Earth, but we know he entered the form of a snake. And this is when snakes walked around on two legs. And I looked it up, and some species still have legs today. Okay? So when that spirit, Lucifer, Satan, entered into the tangible body of a snake, because, see, in order for him to talk, he had to have a body with vocal cords, speech. So when he convinced Eve to disobey God's authority and disobey God's word and eat of that apple, and then Eve seduced Adam, who was standing right there with her, and convinced him to eat it too, death entered in the earth by sin. Sin was they transgressed God's word, okay, through that witchcraft in Eve's mind. And so then death entered in. And to show you, to prove that there was no death until that time, it took Adam about 900 years or 700 or 600 or whatever to die. He didn't just die. He died spiritually. Right on the spot, he died spiritually. His spiritual death caused separation from God. He was no longer one with God. That's why we have to be reconnected. That's why Jesus is the bridge to bring us back to that oneness with God. That's what it's all about. So when Adam and Eve left the presence of God, remember they were put out, and God took some angels with flaming swords and blocked their way, so they could not come back in there and eat from the tree of life and remain in that fallen state forever. So I'm going to just bring this one point up so you know I know what I'm talking about here. They went away from God and they began to die. Where was Satan at? When they left God's presence and began to die, where was the devil? Where was Satan? He was right there in spirit form, looking and waiting to get into Cain. Who taught Cain how to take up a stick, smack his brother in the head, and kill him? Satan
did.
He was there. So then deterioration began to take place in Adam. Deterioration, what happens when people die? Something deteriorates. But because it doesn't deteriorate where it's visible to the eye, and I'm learning this, I'm really, really learning some of this here lately. And this is why I say that death and sin are behind every sickness. So how did Satan cause Cain to do that? He got in his head, he got in his mind, and he began to talk to him. And what else did he bring? He brought in jealousy, the same thing that he had in heaven against God. All of those same things transferred to Cain. Now, Cain asked God to just put a mark on him. But well, God put a mark on him so that when people saw him, they wouldn't kill him.
Right.
Because he had to live out the length of those days, whatever they were. Now, God says over there in Genesis that the length of days for a man and a woman is supposed to be 120 years. Is that right?
That's right.
We're supposed to be able to live, even right now, 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we begin to cut our life short. So if God created your liver to be in existence for 120 years, why would your liver kick out at 21?
Come on now.
Why would it kick out at 21? If God created your heart to at least go 120 years, why would it kick out at 52? It would kick out because of something called sin, which brings death. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What is death? Death is the cessation of life. So, in order for that heart to begin to do whatever it's going to do as life begins to decrease from it, and it decreases from it to the point that it no longer exists. However, God sent a Savior, to save us from the wrath of death, which comes by sin. So therefore, the Bible says Jesus is life. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a life-giving spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That means that the words that Jesus speaks have the ability to bring a tangible manifestation of life into whatever it is spoken into, therefore overruling and overriding the ability of death and sin to cause cessation of life in an area or a part of the body. It's simple.
Amen.
Speak life. Speak life. But, look, Jesus says speak life. But that life that Jesus speaks, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the words that I speak, they are what? Spirit and life. The word of God is what? Sharper, quicker, piercing, hallelujah. It tells you right there in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the word of God can discern. The word of God can go all the way into the joints and the marrow. It tells you right there that it can do it quickly and it can do it powerfully. And brothers and sisters, it can bring life and stop the cessation of life, which brings death. It's very, very simple.
Wow.
And what happens? You heal. You heal. You heal. Now, you got a devil. And his job is to hinder you. He knows he can't stop it. He knows that he does not have the ability to stop anything of God, anything, period, that is of God. So he doesn't want, he would like to stop you if he can, and in some instances he can. And he only can if there's doubt and unbelief. So what he does, he comes in and he knows this. If he can put enough pressure on you, if he can just stop you long enough, if he can slow you down long enough, if he can change your way of thinking, then he got you. What does he do with that? Why he's called a liar. John 10:10. Your father was a liar. You of your father, you abide in lies. Well, if you can come in with the truth, which is light and life, it'll dispel darkness. It will dispel the resuscitation that is trying to take place because light, what the scriptures say, that light came into the world and the darkness comprehended not the light, Jesus. Light, life, and more life, God's Holy Spirit. Life, life, eternity, eternal God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost manifest in the person of Jesus has the ability to stop death. That's why Jesus said, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" When Jesus died, he overcame it. He overcame it. The problem is, do you believe it?
Right.
It's got to be believed.
Right.
It's got to be believed.
Mm-hmm.
And and not mental assent. There's a difference between faith, believing, and mental assent. Mental assent says, in my mind, I got it. In my mind, I know Jesus could do it. In my mind, I read it, and it says it. That's where mental assent comes in. That's where mental assent stops. And that's where mental assent don't have no power. Because Jesus said, whosoever shall believe in his heart. Jesus said, believe on me. Jesus said, if you don't believe on me, believe on the very works that I do. But you got to believe. Mental assent says you got to accept it. No, you got to believe it.
Amen.
You got to believe it. Accepting won't get you nothing. It gets you, okay, it says this. Well, why ain't it working? Why ain't it working for me? Because you don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to believe it. We are trichotomy man, tripartite, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit and soul and body got to be in agreement. They can't be out of agreement. Your soul can't be over here on the right and your body over here on the left and your spirit man floundering. Why am I saying that, Apostle? I'm saying it because of this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost never disagree with each other.
Right.
Never.
Right.
They are always in agreement. But the devil got us tricked up, tied up, twisted up, tangled up, and then we don't know which way is up, and we don't know how now to bring our spirit, our soul, and our body back together in alignment, in unity with God. And God does not operate in confusion. God does not operate in chaos. Jesus, every time he appeared, he said this, peace, peace, peace. He's talking about that shalom of God, that shalom of God, lacking nothing. Peace. You can't be in peace with the devil. He don't know peace. He don't know that peace of God that passes understanding. So
right.
as long as he can keep one part of you floundering, as long as he can keep your mind over here on something else, I got to pay my bills. I got to, my life's going to be shut off. You know what? You got to get to the point, brothers and sisters, where you say, Jesus, look, you know the situation. Now, look, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I'm going to depend on you to do what you told me you would do in your word. In your word. I'm not going to budge off your word. And I'm not going to move in my flesh. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it think. I'm going to stand on what I believe you are saying in your word. And brothers and sisters, you could be wrong. You could be wrong in your thinking, but because your heart is thinking so right, God will fix that thing for you. God will bring that about for you. Because he knows what? Man look on the outward appearance. He look on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Apostle,
yes,
it's
ma'am.
A very hard thing sometimes to not look at the outward appearance. It's hard sometimes. But I just know what Paul said. He said, I'm about to lose that scripture. He said, forgetting those things that are behind, pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. It's a higher calling. It's a higher calling. But we can attain to it in one simplified way. And believe in Jesus. Just believe it. Mm. We got to believe in Jesus. We got to believe on Jesus. We got to believe by Jesus. We got to believe through Jesus. And then we got to believe Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
He will never leave us nor forsake us. But
no matter what it looks like.
No matter what it looks like, no matter what it smell like.
Yeah.
Those things are temporal. Those things are temporal.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are temporal. And if you love Jesus, you have brought all those senses, secular, under subjection to him anyway. See, if you love him, and you've submitted your whole Romans chapter 12, verse 1 self to him. Those things are under his, they're supposed to be under his subjection. Your eyes supposed to be under his subjection. Your smell supposed to be under his subjection. Your taste, touch, sight, ears, hearing, everything is supposed to be under his subjection. Meaning his lordship. He's supposed to be lord over everything. And if he's already Lord, then you ain't got to jump up when something go crazy and submit it to him. It's already under his dominion. So all you got to do now is trust him. Trust him. So now we're coming into the big T word. Do you trust him? If he told you to get up, like he told this lady's husband on the TED line, it's on there. He told her husband, get up, get dressed, and go to the park. Go to the park. You know what? The man didn't even tell his wife where he was going. He got up, he got dressed. This was last week in New Jersey. Went to the park, found $160, and he was short $160 on his rent.
Wow.
So I told him, get up, let's go to the park. And he did it.
Mm-hmm.
No questions. But see, some of us, which park, God? What part of the park? Which corner in the park? What's going to happen when I get there, God? God, are you sure you telling me to go to the park? God, why are you telling me to go to the park? By then, the money done blown away.
mm-hmm.
And somebody else, we got to know that we know that we know that we know that we know our God.
Mm-hmm.
And that we trust. Explicitly. There was a lady, she was expecting this job. And God said in 2 days, she was going to get the job. And so then they called her and said, our fiscal year ends October 31st. And so she's still believing she's going to get the job. But I said, God, now wait a minute. Hey, you don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, I said, go back to God and ask God, what does he want you to do with this time he's given you in between? And then right before that, she blessed me and she had texted me and said, God had okayed this business that she had for herself. Well, it made sense to me. He did that within the time frame that he said, the 2 days. He blessed her with the business, the certification she needed. And so God is going to still do the job thing, but he's going to do a bigger job.
Right.
So, and I don't believe it's over there, because when God starts delivering people, and this is something I want to really stress, God don't just deliver your body. He don't just heal you. He delivers you into a whole other realm of himself. He delivers you creative flow of himself. He delivers you into an expansion of himself. He delivers you out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear son, into the kingdom of abundance, into the kingdom of blessing. He changes your whole life when you get delivered, your whole life. It ain't about, and I think we have looked at it way too small, way too small. Yeah, he's going to deliver you from sin, but the bottom line is he's delivering you for himself anyway. So if he's delivering you for himself anyway, he's delivering you to make you a witness of himself, a witness of his goodness, a witness of his power, a witness of himself on this earth. He'll bless you, deliver you, and make you a demonstrable a witness so that when people see you, they're going to see the goodness of God. When people see you, they're going to see the grace of God. When people see you, they're going to see the blessedness of God. Deliverance is a big, broad spectrum in the life of a man or a woman.
My God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God, glory to God. I know, Apostle, there's just so much. Once again, saints, before I ask my next question, those of you that have questions, please, please, please do not hesitate to ask the woman of God whatever it is that is on your heart, whatever it is. This is the time. This is the opportunity. Also, Dr. Shepherd, I know you told them how to, reach you via the, or they can learn about you and reach you through Tedline Ministries. But please also tell them what happens 6 o'clock every day of the week, a.m., 6 a.m. What's going on?
God meets us on the deadline every day at 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Sometimes we go over. But God, brothers and sisters, he, like when he calls you, He'll give you a time to meet with him. All right? And it don't have to be no supernatural thing. Your pastor could tell you, that's what happened with me. The bishop told me, meet me in the prayer room at 6 o'clock. Okay.
Amen.
And I've been meeting him. I didn't know. I thought he meant just come there and meet me to pray with me. He developed a discipline in me to meet Jesus every morning at 6 a.m. So every morning at 6 a.m., I have a standing appointment to meet Jesus every day. Every day. So that same time developed into the 10 line because the way you start your day off, brothers and sisters, has a tremendous effect on how that day going to be carried through. A lot of people call that commanding your morning. Well,
right.
I call that commanding your whole life. Because I developed a habit, a work ethic. Whatever the hardest problem is I have for that day, that's the first thing I hit. I figure I'll get the hardest job out the way, everything else will be a piece of cake.
Okay.
And that's how I am. That's how I am with God. Me and God get together on that TED line. And on that TED line, brothers and sisters, is a bunch of people like-minded. Like-minded what? Been delivered or being delivered or seeking deliverance. And a lot of things you don't even know you need to be delivered from. And over 30 years, I find God has delivered me sovereignly from stuff I ain't even know I need to be delivered from. And he still does it. And the reason he does it is because we live in a world where spirits transfer back and forth, back and forth. And you don't know what, you don't know that message I was teaching the other day. What spirit are you of? That's what God asked Peter. That's what It's throughout the Bible. You don't know, the Bible says, you don't know what spirit you are of. That's what Jesus said to people. We don't know what spirit the people around us are of. Even when we go to the supermarket. Even when we do shop. But anyway, brothers and sisters, we handle that stuff at 6 a.m. every morning. And every day, God meets us with something fresh.
Yes. We have a caller with a question on the line. Your last four digits are 0698. Go ahead, please. How are you?
I am blessed. Good morning, Apostle Grace, and good morning, Apostle Dr. Shepherd. How are you?
Good morning.
Today?
Good morning.
Yes, thank you so much for this information. It is powerful. I wanted to, I don't know if it's really a question. My husband, we've been married over a little over a year, and he's battled with alcoholism for years. And during our premarital counseling, the pastor told him that if he decided to pick up a drink again, that the spirit would come back, the demons would come back seven times stronger. Well, on our wedding day, which was May 27th, 2017, he picked up a drink. And it's been a year and almost a year and a half of ups, downs, tears, pain, anger, resentment. I've witnessed him actually, as he's drinking, hold up the glass and beg God to take it from him. But you know, God says there's victory after this. He actually just came out of detox, and he was supposed to go into a 14-day treatment program. Every time he has gone to detox, he's never gone through the next step. Glory to God, he didn't get a bed on that Monday. However, he started outpatient treatment. So God is moving. For myself, because when we met, he was not drinking. So I did not meet this person until after we got married. I guess my question is, first, I know God can do the impossible. I believe in deliverance and freedom in deliverance. I've been delivered from a lot of things. And I agree with you, Dr. Shepherd, that you don't even realize the things you still need deliverance from. So I think one of the things, I don't want to be an enabler. I want to be supportive and show love and respect, keep the respect going. But even on Tuesday, when he was about to go to his first, you know, treatment, he was about to set it up. And that morning, I started noticing, I've been able to, thank God, notice when Satan is operating and not him. And so he started kind of, he was irritable, and that was to be expected because he went through something traumatic over that weekend with detoxing. And all I called out, I said, Satan, not today. Like commanding your morning. I do that every day, but I said, Satan, not today. And he said to me, who are you talking to? I just said, Satan, not today. You have no place over here. And next thing I know, he falls asleep. My husband is knocked out asleep, like in a comatose sleep. And I was able to drive to work in peace. I was like, wow, that is powerful. But I just want to know, how do I keep myself, well, with help of God, with God actually, to keep myself in a perfect peace in the midst of all of the hills and valleys, bumps and bruises along the way of his recovery.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
You said that when you first met him, he wasn't drinking?
No, ma'am. He had been sober for 2 years.
Okay. He had been sober for 2 years. Do you know what the trigger was?
Sorry, say that again.
Do you know what the trigger was that made him take that first drink after 2 years sobriety?
he lost his father and he lost a really great job opportunity all within 1 month.
Okay.
And he lost his dad unexpectedly. He's the only child. That was his best friend. And he went in for outpatient surgery and never came out of it.
Okay.
And that was in March of 17. So he held on and he decided to allow the day of our wedding. He felt that, you know, the trick of the enemy will have you thinking, oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. I just want to celebrate our wedding. And so he used that as an opportunity to celebrate our wedding. However, it began his destruction. Even though he's not destroyed, because God is still in control, but it came close. God is still, boy, it came close.
Okay, let me ask you this. So when he took that first drink on the wedding, you were actually in agreement with him, huh?
No. Well, here's the thing with that. He had asked me before we got married, because we had went through premarital counseling, he said, babe, how would you feel if I took a drink? I said, because I never saw him in an intoxicated state, I said to him, well, it's hard to answer that question because I've never seen you in that place. Okay. So I know he was looking for me to agree with what he was doing. And I answered it as truthfully as I could. I had never seen him in that place, so I had no idea what would transpire after that place. So I can say, I helped him with this, I believe.
Okay, let me show you something. Remember when you said, Satan, not today?
Yes, ma'am.
What happened? Say to me again what happened. Well, let me say it.
He felt
to you. He went to
sleep. He went to sleep.
He went to sleep. What does that tell you? What is God showing you in that right there?
One, that there's power in rebuking and decreeing and declaring over Satan that
Go deeper than that. What is God showing you?
That I have the power to shut Satan down.
No, ma'am. You know you have the power. No, ma'am.
Yes.
God is trying to show you it's a spiritual problem.
Gotcha.
It's a spiritual problem. Because if it were not a spiritual problem, when you said what you said to the devil, your husband would have went on and really got that drink then. So, number one, write this down. Your husband's problem is spiritual.
One second. I got to get a pen.
Okay. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got your pen?
Now, I'm sorry, I just got out the shower. So I'm trying to go.
I'm writing.
I don't want to waste your time. I apologize.
Okay,
I have my pen. My husband.
Okay. Your husband's problem is spiritual. He got a spiritual problem. Now, tell me, has he ever told you how he first started drinking? How did he first start drinking? What happened? Is he a soldier?
Huh.
Has he ever been in the military?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Did he ever tell you what?
Has he ever told me
what made him take his first drink?
Well, it started as recreational. When it became more than recreational, it sounds like it's always been when he suffered a great loss, when he lost his grandmother, when he lost his cousin, he would begin drinking.
Okay,
and the thing
right
is, with him, he... Yes, ma'am.
I don't like a whole bunch of words. I'm not cutting you off, but the Holy Ghost be talking to me as you talking. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Number two,
yes.
Number two, your husband uses alcohol as a tranquilizer.
Yes, to be numb.
He self-medicates through alcohol. It's medicine. Now, what does he love? Tell me what he loves other than you.
He loves football. He loves coaching. He loves children. He loves his family. He loves his children. He loves God.
Okay. Then you're going to have to find a way to make God and the things he loves bigger than his fear that he faces when he suffers loss.
Yes, ma'am.
Be it real or imagined. He has a demon in him.
Wow. Okay.
He has a
I'm hearing.
Okay.
Wow.
And listen to me. I want you to love me after I tell you this. It's in you too.
Yes, ma'am. I love you.
Okay, good. You get delivered and get filled up with more God than he got the devil, and then God can use you to run the devil out of him. You want me to prove it to you?
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
I want you,
ma'am.
To prove it.
Oh, of course you do, beloved. Yes, ma'am.
So, when you get more God, and then, this is what you got to do. There's a part of him that's not saved, and that would be his mind. Because there's something in his mind. I didn't say his brain. I said his mind. There's something in there that he's telling him he ain't something. I don't know what it would be. He ain't something. He ain't something.
Mm.
But then the alcohol, the demon of the alcohol says, you don't have to be. Just take me and forget it. Are you following me? So you need to get delivered.
Yes, ma'am. I've seen that in operation.
Okay. You need to get delivered, and you need to repent for trying to be his Holy Ghost. And that's simple. You love him. You love him. You got to get delivered first from the spirit. Can I cast that spirit of him out of you?
Yes, ma'am.
No?
Wait a minute. Say that again. Can you
cast the spirit of him out of you? See?
Yes, ma'am.
You came into agreement with him with this.
Right.
At some point, you let your guard down. And
that
you became
I did.
Acceptance of this devil. You can't never accept that devil. Because, see, what you agree to accept, God has to agree to accept it. Because God ain't going to go against your will. And he ain't going to go against his will. So you got to come all the way out of agreement with him. And you got to do it in love. You got to do it in love. And the thing, like I told you, what he loves has got to be bigger than that lying alcohol demon that's telling him, I love you, brother. And I love you so much. I'm going to get you drunk. And then you're going to be able to deal with the fear you got and to deal with the rejection and the abandonment and all this other junk.
Jesus.
Whew. Stop me. And guess
yes,
what? It ain't hard for you because I'm already discerning. You love the Lord. You got Jesus. You got the power. You got everything you need. And the only thing you don't have is you got to love the hell out of him.
I've heard that before. Jesus. Wow.
It's easy. And you gotta get those transference spirits out. See, the Bible says two become one. And that is spirit, soul, and body. Two become one. You became one with him. You became one with that alcoholic demon. It might not be alcohol, but I'm sure that when he goes on the alcoholic tirades, he do something to cause your emotions to flare up, and then you begin to operate out the emotions, and then you got to decompress, bring yourself back down out of that to flow and operate properly.
You're absolutely right. Jesus. Yes, ma'am.
Sister, I done dealt with these demons a long time. A long time. I tell people, I know, I wish I didn't know him so well, but I know him. I know him. And he knows me.
Jesus.
He knows me. And the people think there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. So you got all that stuff written down? Okay. You got a paper towel there?
A paper towel?
Uh-huh. I want to get that demon out of you. You want me to leave it alone?
No, ma'am. This is my one opportunity to be delivered. I don't have a paper towel, but I have a towel. Will that work?
Okay. And guess what? You just jumped in front of about 300 people.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is that for you. Right, repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You said in your word. Whosoever. Shall call. Upon the name of the Lord. Shall be delivered. I'm calling upon you now. For my deliverance. And I'm standing in the gap. For my husband. Mm-hmm. Deliver him. As you deliver me. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to cast out all doubt and unbelief and disappointment because you've been highly disappointed, okay? So
yes.
Just say, I renounce. Doubt and unbelief. And the spirit of disappointment. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to command it to come up out of you. All I need you to do is cough. I just, you know, expel that breath, okay? So,
yes, ma'am.
A doubt, unbelief, disappointment. Go! Come on up out of this thing. Cough it out. Go! Come on.
Let's go.
I have something to tell you. You have allow these demons to hinder your ministry. You have a ministry that's approximately about 2 years behind where it should be. God's going to pick your feet up. He's going to accelerate your speed. He's going to get you where you have to be so that those people that are waiting for you to come and snatch them out of the kingdom will be accessible to you. God is now going to, you're going to be able to understand those dreams and those visions that you have, that you were really being hindered from understanding them in the fullness due to the demons that were in your husband operating against you. Can I cast out one more demon? Can I cast out one more demon? Can I cast out one more demon?
Yes, ma'am.
Say, I renounce the messenger of Satan.
Say that again.
I renounce the messenger of Satan.
The messenger of Satan.
Yeah, that was sent to hinder me.
That was sent to hinder me.
Tell it to get out of you.
Get out of me. Get out of me. Get out of me. Get out now.
I got it. Go. Get out. Go. Go.
Needed to be done, and he did it, and so we thank God for it.
Dr. Shepherd, I tell you, I thank you. I thank you so much. I thank you so much. And I know my callers are going to want to hear from you again. Saints of God, listen, I do encourage you, please, to listen to her show at 6 o'clock a.m. on Blog Talk, on Blog Talk Radio, Tedline. Listen to her show, because just what happened just now, this type of thing happens all the time, and you can get your deliverance. You know, she may be talking with someone else, but you know that that same spirit dwells in you, and you would be able to get your deliverance. So be obedient to the word of God. Be obedient to the woman of God, to the woman of God. I tell you, this has been phenomenal. It has truly been phenomenal, and I thank God for you. Dr. Shepherd, is there anything else that you would like to say before we close out today?
I want to say one thing. I want to say that the Bible says if two of us agree, you and I were in agreement. There was absolutely no disagreement between you and me. There was absolutely nothing that could have prevent that lady from being receiving what she received. If the prayer and the power of agreement, brothers and sisters, being in agreement with Jesus, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Keep yourself around like-minded believers. That's all I got to say.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I feel like I got my next appointment. I got to go.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm letting you go now. Amen.
Okay.
So, saints of God, thank you. Go ahead, doctor. Do remember that this is, bye-bye, beloved, that this is.
God bless you.
Martha. She already hung up, honey. We get to the heart of the matter. Meet us back here again next Saturday. Again, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And, of course, always Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. At New Vision for Life. We love you. God bless you. Have an awesome rest of the day. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.